Well, everyone, we have Dave Gustafson on as a speaker today. Many of you, I'm sure, already know Dave, but I'll just do a little introduction if any of you don't. Dave is a research professor at the College of Engineering at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, where he joined the faculty in 1966. He co-founded the Center for Health Systems Research and Analysis, which is a multidisciplinary research center at UW, which we're part, Niatx is a part of. Let's see, what else do I want to say about you, Dave? Over the last 10 years, Dave's work has focused on comprehensive health enhancement support system, CHESS, an internet-based information and support system to help people coping with lung, breast, and prostate cancer, asthma, substance abuse, and sexual assault. Dave was helped found the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, which many of you may have heard of, and is a fellow and past member of its board. He's helped numerous organizations, including the British National Health Service, to improve the process they use to deliver care. Dave is obviously I don't even know your title, Dave, the director, our fearless leader of Niatx, and I'm very thankful that he could do this talk today. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Kim, how much time do I have?
We have a total of an hour, and we want to give people some time for questions, so maybe 30 or 40 minutes of presentation.
Okay. Fine. Well, anyway, it's a pleasure to be with you folks, and I guess the thing that people have asked me to talk about is flipping. On the other hand, I have a PhD in disorganization, and so as a result of that, chances are I'll forget when I flip a page, and I'm sorry. I hope you'll sort of be able to catch those transitions. I was really sort of, challenged in terms of trying to figure out what kind of a title to give this presentation. One title was aimed sort of at how serious the issue of handoffs is, not only to our field, but to so many other fields. And there, a saying from Woody Hayes, the old football coach at Ohio State, came through. And there he said that when you pass the ball, three things can happen, and two of them are bad. And what he meant by that was that if you pass the football, throw the football, one thing is your receiver can catch it. That's good. And the second thing is your receiver can not catch it. He may drop it, or it may be in some sense an incomplete pass. And the third is that it can be intercepted by the opposing team. But he hated passing the football. He thought it was just terrible, and he used that expression: three things could happen, but two of them are bad. And I guess in my mind, this whole issue of how you move a patient from one level of care to another is a very high risk situation where there's so many things that can happen. And the vast majority of those things lead to an inadequate transition from one level of care to another. The patient doesn't make it. They may make it, but they're in sort of in a bad mood, and they don't benefit from the new service or things like that. So that was one possible title. But then another title that came up was a title by W. Edwards Deming, who, among two or three other people, probably should be counted as the father of quality improvement. And what he really said was 85% of the problems that exist in organizations are problems with the system or processes, not with the staff or with the customers. And then later on in his life, he moved that up to 95%. But the bottom line is, in the second title is, it's the system. It's not the patient. Really, it's not the patient. And there, the reason for that title is to emphasize, we all realize how much of a role patients can play in whether or not they make it from one level of care to another. You know, you can tell them a lot of different things, and they may still not make it. And what Deming kept on saying was, I don't care. It doesn't matter. The fact is, if the system had been operating properly, that patient would have made it to the next level of care, and they would have succeeded there. It's not the patient's fault when the patient doesn't make it to the next level of care. It's the system. It's the process. It's not the patient. And so I was sort of torn between which of the two titles I'd use. And so being one of those people that often can't make a decision even as to what to order off a menu, I decided to leave them both in. when I was preparing for this talk, one of the things that I did was I read a lot about handoffs in other fields. I really like just going in and picking out another industry and seeing if I can learn anything from how they face a problem. And, I'll tell you, it wasn't hard to realize right away that handoffs or transitions are a big deal in almost any industry. 25% of all air traffic control errors occur. Oh, by the way, we're in the next slide. Within 15 minutes of a handoff of moving the plane from being under control of one air traffic control center to another. So 25% of all our air traffic control errors occur within 15 minutes of that handoff. There was a oil platform down south of New Orleans that exploded and killed 167 people a few years ago. It was because the information about a particular repair to that platform was not appropriately handed off from one shift to another. And so a couple of key things that never should have happened. And the platform blew up. Willie King was a guy who had his wrong leg amputated, and it was because a clerk at the hospital, when she was filling out information, wrote down the wrong information for the nurse, and so the nurse wrote a message, amputate this leg or whatever, on the wrong leg. Again, because information wasn't properly transmitted from one staff person to another. So we are far from being alone in handoffs. As a matter of fact, as the next slide shows, and this slide started off with about 20 different industries listed under it. But, the whole issue of unaccompanied minors going on airplanes and how you hand off that unaccompanied minor from the staff at the departing airport to the staff of the arriving airport. Relay races where people practice for hours on end to make sure that they catch the baton just at the right time in just the right way. So it's not only not dropped, but it doesn't slow the runners. The 911 emergency call centers, and how you transfer information about a person who's calling for help from the right to the right service organization like the ambulance. Football, where you're handing off the football from one player to another. NASCAR pit stops, where people come in and stop and you have to make changes to the tires and that kind of stuff. Moving a patient from surgery to intensive care. Moving a patient from thinking of their treatment as being focused on curative care to hospice, where they're no longer focused on a cure, but on a comfortable, good death. All of these, and I'll bet you guys can think of many, many more, are examples of where handoffs are absolutely critical, and are as a result of that something that is taken very seriously by these fields. On the next screen, we have a screen that's intended to show that not only do those industries have their problems with handoffs, but excuse me, we've got them too. We can argue about exact statistics, and I don't want to get into that kind of an argument, but we all know that if a patient is in detox, the chances of them being successfully transferred over to outpatient or inpatient is comparatively small. That a lot of these patients, and some of them don't need to be transferred, but a lot of them do and aren't successfully transferred. Same way, there are a lot of people who, when they're discharged from residential, need outpatient care or need continuing care, and it doesn't happen. And those problems, of course, can cause all sorts of difficulty. I mean, it can cause the frequent flyer kind of problem that we see in detox, where the same patient comes back time and time and time again. It can lead states to begin to impose or think about imposing all sorts of new regulatory restrictions and reimbursement restrictions that reward agencies for keeping patients in treatment. So the whole issue of appropriate handoff of the patient from one level of care to the next level of care is just a very big deal. Just to go back and sort of emphasize a little bit more about how seriously different fields take this problem, I'm going now to the next page. And I apologize because I'm going to use an example that in life is trivial in comparison to addiction treatment. It's the process of handing off a football from one player to another. And I realize that this isn't nearly as serious as the kind of handoff issues that the addiction treatment field is faced with. But I think it's a good example anyway, because it emphasizes, how seriously another field takes this particular issue, and how much, and begins to give some clues as to what kind of things can be done to increase the likelihood of a successful handoff. the situation I'm going to talk about is football. It turns out that Paul Christ is the offensive coordinator for the UW, University of Wisconsin football team. And he's considered to sort of be almost a genius at this. He's able to take nondescript players and turn them into outstanding players. And he's done this not in many places. Ranging from Oregon State University to some professional football team whose name I can't remember, and also at UW. And people are just sort of in awe of his capability in this area. And so I contacted him and I said, you know, what makes you so good? What do you do with your players that allows them to be successful? And he said, well, the most important thing I do is try to find a way of handing off the football successfully. He says everything else is built around that particular thing. And he says we take this issue of handoffs as being one of our very most important roles as a coach. And this sort of emphasizes, you know, the idea that successful industries that are really successful at handoffs take the handoff as an absolutely essential part of the work that they're doing, that they think of it as one of the most important tasks they have in front of them. And with all due respect, I sometimes wonder whether we do give as much serious thought to appropriate handoffs in addiction treatment as we should. But anyway, Paul Christ is, this guy is about 6'7", built like this bodybuilder, which he probably is, and he's sitting in his office and he dwarfs his desk. I ask him what makes him so good at this. And he says, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to realize that time is fundamentally important. For us, we have 25 seconds between when one play is over and the other play needs to be initiated. And so we've only got 25 seconds to be able to communicate what we want to have happen. And he says, so one of the things we need is a standard language. And he says back in my days at Oregon State, we had an offensive line that we had to teach them what their jobs were. And he said, in order to get into the National Football League, you need to have a Wunderlific score of 15. If you have a Wunderlific score of less than 15, you're considered not bright enough to be able to pick up the plays and run them or this kind of stuff, and you're unlikely to be drafted or signed up. He said, I had three players on my offensive line who had a Wunderlific score of 8 or less. And he said, so we had to devise a mechanism that would make it possible for them to be able to carry